Everyone has church stories. We just had one right there. Seems like most of them are negative, though. Seems like most of people's church stories are negative. I think we kind of like Clint Eastwood. We have the good, the bad, and the ugly in church stories. You never know what you're going to get when you go into church. And I don't know if you've ever had negative church experiences. It seems like most people have. They go there and then they're, I'm never having anything to do with God again because I had a bad experience with people. Just because you have a bad experience with people doesn't mean God's bad. Doesn't mean he's bad at all, but I get it. One time I had a bunch of kids and we were going to a church to have a big combined youth rally and had three kids I was especially interested in coming in there. And I couldn't find them. And I thought, well, they're probably back in outside smoking pot or whatever. You know, you never know what these kids are doing. And so I go outside and they're standing outside and two of the leaders of that church wouldn't let them in because they were wearing hats. That's what I said. And so they wouldn't let them in. And I said, why aren't you letting them in? Well, it's disrespectful to God. I said, have you asked him? What, does the bill or something hinder the prayers from going up? These are kids that don't know Jesus and they want to come in here and you're telling them they can't come in here from a rule that you made up. And they didn't want to come in because they had hat hair. I had 75 kids there and we took them all away. We left. And it was a very, very negative experience. So we took the kids out and we showed them, those three kids, that they were more important than the rules of church that man made up. And it was awesome. It was awesome. We went and had our own thing. Had a young man that was from a different country. And he came in. He said, James, after youth, he said, James, I need you to pray for me. I said, I'd love to. What can I pray for you about? I'm going on a date this weekend, and I want you to pray that I get lucky. I can honestly say that's the first time I ever had that prayer request. Ever. But he didn't know about his beliefs. He didn't know if that was not what you do. And I was sitting there going, God, help me. I don't know what to tell this kid. God, please help me what to do. And all of a sudden, this thought came to my mind. I said, I know what we'll do. We're going to call her dad. He can come in and pray with us. That you get lucky with his daughter this weekend. He goes, oh, I don't want to do it. He says, between me and God and you on the down low here. And it was hilarious. But he didn't know. We didn't chastise him for it. We just told him about what true love does. And it was wonderful. And he kept coming back. Go figure. He kept coming back even though we wouldn't pray for him in that way. And then we've also had it to where prayer and baptisms. We've seen God move in amazing ways. Last week, we got to baptize two twin girls. I'm so glad we don't have any in the river this week. It was rough. It was freezing. It was cold. But if you want to be baptized, you let us know. And all these things that happen. I remember one of the most amazing times, and I couldn't even see it happen, was when I was sitting here the day before I got served my divorce papers, and we announced it here. And there was an outpouring of love into my heart from you that has helped me stand and keep walking and keep walking and keep walking. So we've had some wonderful, wonderful times at church as well. And so this young man that came in from a different country, he did not know what to believe. Do we? Do we know what we believe? What is our church mission? I'm going to give you four B's to believe in. One of them is to believe. That's one of our, believe in Jesus. That's one of our church missions. Then it's to belong. Then we're going to say become, and then we're going to say to build. So we believe in Jesus. Then we're going to belong to the family of God. Then we're going to become a disciple. And then we're going to build God's kingdom. That sounds like it's simple too. Could it be that simple? What if we just did that? Have you ever prayed the Lord's Prayer and condemned yourself? Father, forgive me of my sins as I forgive someone else. You need to stop when you start thinking about praying that prayer. It's a rough one. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then we're asking, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So what is he saying? He's saying he wants earth to look like heaven. How do we do that? Well, what if we just believed in this mission statement? That I believe in Jesus and through our worship experiences, that I belong to a family. Did you know that Jesus started life groups? It wasn't TJ and Maria. Isn't that amazing? He had the first life group, and we're still talking about them. He took 12 people, and he poured himself into them, and from there, it just spread out throughout the whole entire earth. That's why we have life groups. We live life together. We get in those life groups, and we live life together, and we pray for each other, and we talk to each other, and we go to different events with each other, and we're living life together. That's what a life group is, and we'll talk about that another time. Then become a disciple, which is the process of maturing or transforming. We're renewed by the transforming of our mind. That's how we're doing. And then building God's kingdom is simply by serving. If you think that you're here for God to serve you, you've missed it. We're here to serve God and to serve one another. That's the best way that you can serve God. So we have believe, belong, become, and build. Today we're going to talk about believing. We'll start with believing. God is believable. That's a huge difference between saying, I believe in God. If I say I believe in God, that doesn't necessarily mean that I believe what he says. Does it? Because there's a difference in there. If I say that, I mean, even James 2:19 says that even demons believe in God and they shudder. How many people in here believe in God and even care? I believe in God, and the demons say they believe in God, and they have this healthy fear of him. They have a healthy fear of God. I think that's awesome. Because I'm his kid, and if a demon messes with me, or any kind of demonic, whatever, if people get real weird when you start talking about demons. Man, he just said demon, and the demon attacked him, and oh my gosh, it was crazy. How about a demonic influence? How about that? Evil gets after me, and guess what? I got a dad that's bigger than that person. Well, that demon, demonic influence, whatever it is. And I can pray, God, help me, save me from these jerks that won't leave me alone. You know what he does? He does. Do I believe it? That's the key. Do we believe it? Let's do a little bit of apologetics. What's that? I don't know, but it's going to be fun. Apologetics is why I believe in God. Why do you believe in God? Because the science tells us that the universe has a beginning. That's science. Right? The universe has a beginning, so we can all agree with that. Well, something had to begin it. Something had to begin our universe because you have space, time, and matter all happening at the very same time. That's not a coincidence. But what are they telling us? The Big Bang Theory. There's even a TV show, James. You have to believe it. The Big Bang Theory. It's a TV show. It's real. Well, how do you argue that? Here's my argument. What caused the bang? What caused the bang? Bangs don't cause themselves. You ever lit a firecracker? You have to light it. And then something happens. I'll tell you what, it takes more faith to believe that this big explosion happened out of nothing. And all of a sudden, the beautiful country evolved into that. That I came from a stinking monkey. Give me a break. I know I look weird, but that's stretching it. That's stretching. I know some people that look like monkeys, but I mean, it's different. Why aren't we still evolving? Oh, because we already done that section. I think it takes more faith to believe that stuff than it does that there's this wonderful creator who created me and loves me and created this beauty that we see every day. But if, then why does he let bad things happen? Well, that's the question that's never going to stop being asked, ever. Trust me, I'm the one that asks it the most. Then why, God? This job would be so much easier without people. And then God's like, hey, numbskull, you wouldn't have a job without people. I just want to be like some of these guys that sit at home and play their games and the government gives them money. Now you're getting personal, James. Shut up. So what caused the bang? I don't know. Then you've got morality. Where did it come from? This is just a little basic apologetics 101. Morality, where did it come from? Well, James, morality is what I say it is. It's all relative. I found out that it's all relative. Your morality and all these things happen. They're all relative. Truth and morality is relative until someone steals your stuff. And say, wait a minute, that's mine. Well, my morality says that I need it more than you need it. And I just don't have enough money. So if you just let me have it, my morality says that I can have it. Well, then what happens? We start fighting. Because your morality is relative and my morality is relative. And my truth is whatever I say it is. And so we don't know where to start. I can tell you where we've gotten all of our laws, where we've gotten all of our calendars. It's all started with Jesus. It all started with God. In the beginning, he kind of gives us, do you believe it? That's what it comes down to. Do I believe all of this stuff that we're peddling out here? Can we believe God? If you believe in God, couldn't you believe him? We should. If I believe in God, I should believe him because he's all-knowing. God is all-knowing. I know some people that think they know everything. But God's really the one that's all-knowing. And in 1 John 3:20, he says, if our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Everything. Now, how much stuff does he know? All the stuff of everything. The question is, do I believe it? Shouldn't we go to somebody who actually knows what they're talking about? If you want to know about horses, come to me. I've ridden them twice. I mean, I am so good with horses. Ask Bobby. He'll tell you I am awesome with them. I can ride a horse. Slowly. Right? But if you want to know about horses, talk to some of these cowboys. If you want to know about life, talk to God. Ask him about it. It says that he knows everything. The key is, do we believe it? He knows everything. The second part is God is truth. John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Well, that's Jesus. That's Jesus. Well, like my good friend Rod says, keep reading. That's a little joke in our little life group. Every time we don't know, Rod says, keep reading. Just keep reading. Because in verse 7 says, if you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. So if you want to know what Jesus is like, look at God. If you want to know what God's like, look at Jesus. It's interchangeable, he says. We're one. We are one. And so we know that God is truth. Isn't it amazing that with all the lies out there, we can know the truth? And the truth can set us free. I think it's amazing that God cannot lie. Think about that. Not being able to lie. Imagine that for a day if you couldn't lie. There's a movie about it. You're already on it over here. Liar, liar. It's hilarious. He can't lie for one day. And this lady comes in with the craziest hair you've ever seen. You like my hair? He's like, whatever takes the focus off your dress. And he can't lie. And so she's like, I'm not sure if I just got offended. What just happened here? And he can't lie. He can't lie. Could you imagine going through it? Can we make it through a day without lying? I'm not brave enough to try it. But I was thinking about it. I was thinking about it even this morning. Can you imagine, you know, when you call somebody, it sounds like they're sleeping. Were you sleeping? No, of course not. Of course not. Why can't we just say, yes, I was sleeping? Why can't we just seem to do that? How's my hair look? Do you really want to know? Or do you want to get lied to? It's beautiful. Oh, I've never seen such a thing. You working hard or hardly working? I'm working hard as I sit there with my potato chips watching college football. Man, I can't believe how busy I am. Wow. We just don't want to tell people, I'm not doing anything. Most of us walked in here today and lied when we got here. Hey, how are you doing? Fine, just great. My life couldn't be better. Right? I did it. What about this one? It's so good to see you. Is it? I didn't lie about that one. I'm so happy to see everybody here. It's amazing. So good to see you. How awesome is it that we have a God that can't lie? That he knows the truth. And we can believe him. And God's immutable. What? James, I told you don't use big words. Don't worry, I looked it up. It means he can't change. God's immutable. He cannot change. And that should be a blessing for us too. In Malachi 3, 6 says, or 6. Whoa. 6. S-I-X. That slipped. Malachi 3, 6. You'll never forget that verse. Wow, that's weird. Richard, what happened? Malachi 3, 6 says, I, the Lord, do not change. Hebrews 13, 8 says, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Isn't that great news? Because he's consistent. He's the most consistent being in our lives that will ever be. When I'm bad, he's good. When I'm good, he's good. When I'm having a bad day, he's good. He's always there for us consistently in our lives. You can't believe somebody when they're changing their mind all the time. It's hard to believe somebody when that is always happening. You ever have that friend or so-called friend that always waits for something better to come along and you have planned something with them? And they're like, something came up. I hate that phrase. Something came up. I really can't make it. Yeah, I know what came up. You got tickets to the ball game, and rather than come over to my house and have a lousy hamburger, you want to go to the ball game. Just tell me you want to go to the ball game. It's okay. But no, something came up, and then you have to lie, and we're back into that again. Right? And so the Word of God is not the opinion of God. How about that? The Word of God is not his opinion. The Word of God is just flat-out truth, and that's why he's completely reliable. He doesn't change. It's always good. We need to believe God first. And here's what I'm going to tell you about. Here's what I'm going to explain that one for a second out of Genesis 2, verse 16. Genesis, first book in the whole Bible, or Google it. It'll bring it right to you. Genesis 2, what did I say? Oh, yeah, 16. 2, 16 and 17, it says, and the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die. Now, you kind of might know this story. They eat from it, right? Well, what if they had believed God first? I would have saved myself a whole lot of hell in my life had I believed God first. If I would have just believed the Mexican food restaurant people saying that the plate is hot, I would save myself a lot of pain. That plate's hot. Really? How hot is it? Ah! It's really hot. We told you that. Right? If we would believe first, I think we would be doing a little bit better. My question to God is, if you don't want me to touch the tree, don't put it in the garden. Isn't that terrible? Don't look behind you. What do you want to do now? You want to look behind you. Don't touch that. Why not? Don't have sex before marriage. Why? Because it's evil. No, you've been doing it wrong. That's what I heard from kids. We try to have a true love waits emphasis. We tell them, you got to wait till marriage to have sex. That time I said sex instead of six. So it was a real thing. And we tell them, and we don't believe it because everybody else is doing it. I've been talking to somebody recently about a thing called the Culture Project, and they have got some wonderful, wonderful resources on that, theCultureProject.org. Resources about what God is asking from us. What the stresses and the strains that these kids have on their lives right now, and not only that, but adults. And why it's important that we need a relationship with Christ and we want to walk it out right. But we have these rules that we look at in here and we go, I'm not going to believe that. I'm going to do this stuff first and then see what happens. And we would save ourselves a whole lot of trouble if we do what God asks us to do first. I don't understand why did God put that tree in there and say, don't touch it? I believe that he did that because it gave us an opportunity to choose him. That's just a thought. It's not, I can't give you book, chapter, and verse. It's a thought. It's an opportunity to choose him. And in a weird way, it's really about love. Agape love. And agape love is not about a feeling, it's about a choice. Can you imagine if someone just said, hey, you're gonna, I mean, we've seen it with our kids. We make our kids love each other. Right? They're sitting there whacking on each other. You tell your brother you're sorry. Fine, I'm sorry. You just don't want grounded. But what if they choose that? Number one, the parents would faint. If the child walked up and said, I just want you to know, I'm really sorry that I was rude to you earlier. You have to record that stuff. It's not real. Right? But God wants us to choose him. And if he had not put something in the garden that was opposite of him and said, don't touch that, you don't have the option. And all of a sudden he says, I want you to love me because you want to. I was getting out of the military and I had a friend that had a car lot up there at Fort Hood in Killeen. He had a car lot and I said, I don't want to take all my cars. I said, could you sell this one for me? Yes, I'd love to sell this for you, James, and I want to help you out. So I get back, and I move to Big Spring. I don't recommend it. Terrible place to live. I go to Big Spring in West Texas, and I keep calling the guy because I'm just not sure. I want him to make sure that he's being honest with me. And did you sell my Jeep? Did you sell it? Did you sell it? Did you sell it? And then I questioned his integrity on the whole thing. And I will never, ever, ever forget what he told me. He called me up and he said, I just want you to know that you hurt me deeply in the fact that you don't believe me when I say I'm selling your Jeep. I thought maybe he was going to sell it for less and keep more money. And he said, I want you to know that you hurt me deeply when you've done this. And he sent me a check for the full price of the Jeep before he even sold it. And he never talked to me again. That's rough. That's rough. And he was just saying, I want you to believe in me. I want you to believe in me. I think that's what God's saying. Everything I put in here is for your good. Everything I've said and I've done was for your good. And I've questioned it a million times when I'm hurting and I'm in pain. God, what are you doing? And he goes, you can trust me. And if you'll trust me, this is going to go a lot better for you. I'm learning that. I'm learning that, and I'm working on it, and I'm working on it. Unbelief, it leads to disobedience. Unbelief. In Hebrews 3, if you have a Bible, man. Hebrews 3, 16 to 19. This is going to sound contradictory if we pay attention to it. It says, who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies perished in the wilderness? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. So you see the last part there, it says that they weren't able to enter because they disobeyed. And then the very last part says they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. So which is it? Is it unbelief or is it disobedience? The answer is yes. Their disobedience led to their unbelief led to disobedience because they didn't believe. He had led them through all kinds of things. And then through, if the ocean opened up, if the Llano River opened up and said, journey, you can pass through because the burning bulldogs are after you. Hurry up and I'm going to drown them later. Right? So here we go through. If we went through that, wouldn't you believe a little bit more? Then you get on the other side and you go, there's no water. God hates us. He hasn't given us food or nothing. How come we're going to die out here? We should have stayed back and been slaves. We should just stayed back. It's no wonder God was a little bit upset. So they didn't believe in him. And it led to disobedience. And he goes up on the mountain to get the laws and to get the Ten Commandments. And within 40 days, what are they doing? They made a replica of a cow out of gold and were worshiping it. A cow. That's crazy. I've never once, working with cattle, wanted to worship it. Never once. But he goes up there, and within 40 days, they're like, nobody's coming back. What should we do? Let's offer sacrifices. To what? A cow. After everything they'd seen and done. And we think we're different, right? Oh, of course, I'd have done it way different. Obviously, I mean, I would have never, ever been that silly. There's just no way. You know, I think disobedience makes us smell bad. Like junior high boys. They believe in showers. They just don't take them. I mean, that's just kind of the way it is. You ever seen them? I mean, they're just crazy. They smell bad. And then they're walking around going, what stinks? It's you. Why? Because you didn't take the shower. But I got wet. You know there's a difference between getting wet and taking a shower? I heard about you. No, I'm kidding. Zach's going to be like, I'm going to beat you up later, mister. And he says he wants us to have childlike faith in order to do this. Let's look at Matthew 18. We're getting close to being done. I can hear some of your stomachs growling. 18:1-4, it says, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Disciples, they're silly. Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called a little child to him and placed a child among them. He said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never even enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. He picked a child. Why? I'll tell you why. Because they'll do almost anything you tell them. They just believe. Hey, go out there and play in the road. Okay. They'll just do it. They just do it. For the most part. Now we're talking, he said, little child. I've seen some other children, and they don't listen so goodly. The little child will pretty much do what you ask them to do, especially if they're not afraid of you. That's why they tell them, stranger danger. Don't get in the car, because a child, you hold them out some candy, and yeah, I want some candy. Get in this truck. And God goes, you won't even, unless you change and become like a little child and have that kind of faith, you're not even getting in the kingdom of heaven. He said, I need you to believe in that way. Believe it. And then the last point is believe again and again and again and again. As the great poet Steve Perry put it, don't stop believing. And when we're in Journey, I mean, it works. It works. He wrote it for Christians. Don't stop believing, right? John chapter 20. Let's look at this real quick. Verse 30 to 31 says, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So it says, first of all, you may believe, and then it says believing, which is a continual process. You have to keep believing and keep believing and keep believing. And then John 21:25 says this, in his last verse that John ever writes, it says, Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that not even the whole world would have room for the books that were be written. That's pretty amazing. God is still doing amazing things. I've run into some people that have come here into Texas, into Llano, Texas, from California, from Canada, from Oregon, from all over these places. They're going, James, we love it here. And we want to make this place better. And we're like, okay, you can stay then. Because we weren't sure. No, but I mean, it's amazing. The people that I have been meeting that have come here who want to make our place greater than we want to make it. Because they've come from a place where it's being perverted even more than what we're seeing now. And they're going, listen, I want to make this place better. I see freedom here. That's what church is supposed to look like to the world out there. I see freedom here. Not because they came into our church service, but because we're out there telling them about a different way to do things and that God can be trusted. He can be trusted. I'm going to bring the band up as we close it out. Our faith requires maintenance. Just like any relationship, it requires maintaining. You know what Romans 10:17, faith comes by what? Does anybody know? Faith comes by hearing. Here's what it did not say. It does not say that faith has come by having heard. I heard it once, and that's it. It's over. It says by hearing, which is a verb that you have to continue hearing and keep hearing and keep hearing. You have to keep hearing in order to maintain faith. The faith won't maintain itself. We had an office that was apart from here one time, and we had some guys that come and mow it. And I went outside one time, and I was like, hey, what are you guys doing? He said, it ain't going to mow itself. I was like, well, first of all, you're smarty pants, but hey, listen, I'm glad you're doing this, but that makes a good point. My faith is not going to maintain itself. We have to keep working, and we have to keep hearing. We have to keep trusting. We have to keep believing, belonging, becoming, and building. It's an ongoing process. And if you stop, you'll get run over. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. And I am thoroughly convinced that more people would look forward to heaven if they weren't afraid it would look like church when they got there. Does that make sense? I think more people would look forward to going to heaven if they weren't afraid it would look like church when they got there. Wait a minute, I love church. Not every day. We're talking 24/7 all the time. So what does church look like? That's why it's important for us to believe. Not just in God, but to believe God. It's important for us to belong to the church family. It's important for us to become disciples and walk that out. And it's important for us to build this kingdom by serving one another. We were meant to serve each other. Somewhere along the way, maybe we forgot that and we've lost it. And we're not talking about just in here. When I leave this place and you got the rude cashier or you got the rude waiter or waitress who doesn't deserve the tip, tip them $100. Tell them how much God loves them. You never know what could happen. I'm sorry you're having a bad day. I just want you to know that God loves you. Well, James, I don't have $100. Give him 20. I don't have 20. Come here. I'll give you 20 bucks to give somebody. I'll ask Richard for it, and he'll give it to me, and then I can give it to you. He loves us. He loves us more than we could ever possibly know. If you ever want to start a relationship with him, it's easy. And Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. That's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. Then we start walking it out. And we're supposed to help each other do that. But if you only believe in God and not believe him, you're going to find it really be hard. It can be hard. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for loving us more than we deserve. We thank you for your son who came here and showed us who you are and how much you love us. And that we can be like him. We can be like him. And what did he do? He served. He served, he served, he served, and he loved deeply. I know that when we love deeply, we hurt deeply. Sometimes that can be hard to get through that. So help us. Help us be full of your love so that we can love others. And we thank you for the opportunity to be together today. In Jesus' name, amen. We have a prayer team that's here, up here, ready for you. If you would like prayer during the last song or after, we'll be up here ready to pray for you. Would you stand for our last song, please?